Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is my friend Joe Sullivan. And Joe and I are going to talk about a serious issue in downtown Albany that has recently come to my attention, and that's the sewage treatment plant that's being proposed in Lincoln Park. So I called you, Joe, on Saturday to alert you to the problem, and you've been investigating it ever since. And there's going to be a meeting on Monday night at 6:30 at Toast on Delaware Avenue, where people can voice their opposition or for it or whatever. And I think that's a good time for the community to come out and really speak about an issue of importance. So, Joe, you're going to outline your questions on what people should ask that night. What's your feelings?
Well, first of all, Cynthia, when people are thinking what Toast is, in case they don't know what Toast is, that's the O'Brien School, the City of Albany school system. And that's the O'Brien mm-hmm. School, which is at the near the corner of Delaware Avenue and Holland Avenue. And then
okay,
just down,
right.
And then we're looking at Lincoln Park. It's a large ravine that the O'Brien School is actually located in the upper part of the ravine, and then right below, going down toward the river, is the Martin Luther King statue, and then over to the left, if you're looking down toward the river, you've got the Lincoln Park Pool, which has had all sorts of problems. And then this treatment setup is supposed to be along the edge of the ravine. And what's going to happen is the proposal is to literally fill in the ravine and put an underground treatment plan, which is going to screen debris like leaves and trash, whatever's floating on the top. Try to screen that out so it doesn't go into the river down below. And then also at the Albany sewer plant, which is down by the Port of Albany at the riverside, they would be treating the human waste before it actually finds its way into the river, disinfecting it. The big thing is this is only going to be a summer operation. So the fundamental question is, Albany has a tremendous sewer infrastructure problem, among other infrastructure problems, but we're just talking about the sewers today, and that's what this project is all about. And the bottom line, and I think Dan Van Riper of Albany Weblog has really, he's done a fine job of outlining the history and the problems as he sees them with this proposal. It's called the Beaver Creek or Big C proposal. The Big C is the sewer pipe that empties into the Hudson River just by the U-Haul facility and the sewer treatment plant at the riverside. And Dan has really been a Paul Revere sounding the alarm. He's been working on this since the early 2000s. And so he's got very good perspective, and his articles that he's posted on his Albany Weblog site, the most recent one is April 9th. So any readers that want to get a real good solid background as well as some interpretation should read that article before they go to the meeting. And you also called to my attention Amanda Free's article in the uh-huh. Times Union on April 9th. And that's a very good summary overview of the issue and the problem. So people should go online and read that article. So those are two very good sources that are, you know, assigned reading before people go down to the meeting, so they'll have a good impression. Now, as far as questions, Dan raises two questions, which I second. Is this the only solution to this problem of sewage overflow? Does it have to be the so-called Big C right through Lincoln Park? Because after all, this is a park, there's a school there, and, you know, there's lots of problems with doing what they want to do there. And Dan also points out it's not going to solve the problem. In fact, Commissioner Coffey of the Water Department, City Water Department, is quoted in one of the sources as saying that this isn't going to solve the problem. It's just going to help alleviate it to some degree. That's just paraphrasing him. So is this worth $45 million? Is this the only solution? And really what's complicating this issue is all of the development in the city that's taking place. Around Albany Med, you have the VA hospital, you have the middle school. So it's a confluence of lines, sewer feeder lines, that all feed into this Beaver Creek system, which is buried deep in the bottom of the ravine as a pipe. And in fact, there's problems with the pipe because there have been blockages, and you're getting sinkholes develop along the edge of the ravine, more toward the state museum, the library, those areas, along Park Avenue side of the ravine. And what's happening there is, if there are blockages deep down in the creek, the pipe that's buried down there, it has nowhere to go but to go up. And so what would happen if the school were to become a giant sinkhole? There are a lot of questions about this, and Dan Riper says it right. Is this the only and the best place? And is this really worth the $45 million that's going to be spent, alleged 45, it usually winds up being more, to complete this project in the next 3 years or so? And it's only going to operate during the summer months. So that really doesn't, I agree with Dan, it doesn't solve Albany's overall sewer infrastructure problems. The fundamental problem is that the stormwater sewers are mixed with the sewage lines. They're combined
right.
lines. And then that's why you have all of this pollution problem. And it's a very antiquated now, system.
Right. Now, you say combined lines. When
yes.
the when it was first done, when it was first made, I
yes.
guess the people, the visionaries, did not expect to have what we have today. Would you say that was a fair assessment?
Oh, sure. This system evolved piecemeal over the last 400 years in the city. So there was no overall comprehensive forward-looking planning. And if they would have done it right, they wouldn't have to have the large expenditure that would be necessary. The real solution to this is to separate the sewer lines from the stormwater lines, to have separate systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that would cost, some people estimate, in billions of dollars. Well, Dan also points out, Dan Van Riper, that little section of the thruway where they put an extra lane in between exits 23 and 24,
uh-huh.
that cost quite $750,000 to put a lane to nowhere. You know, so
wow.
there's money spent on projects by the state, but apparently not on sewer infrastructure. And this is a problem not only in Albany, it's the upper Hudson River watershed. You have Troy, you have Cohoes, you have Watervliet, you have Rensselaer City. All of these communities have overflows, you know. So when you total up the overflows, the pollution of the Hudson from sewage is quite astronomical. And it tends to be a seasonal event, more in the hot weather. And anyone who's
uh-huh.
driven along 787 or any of the local roads here, you can, on a fine summer's night with your windows wide open, you just get the stench of all these sewer overflows from these communities that I've just
right.
mentioned. And put Green Island into
mm-hmm.
that mix, too. So
right.
it's a major, major problem. But we're concerned here with Albany because here's a $45 million proposal that isn't going to really resolve the problem. It's going to pacify the state DEC, which is fixated on keeping fecal matter out of the Hudson River. And look at all the money that was spent on dredging the PCBs and beating GE into the ground. And keep in mind that GE legally put those PCs in the river because who approved them doing it? The then Department of Environmental State Conservation. So, and all of that dredging, all that money, all that disruption of the river hasn't resolved the problem. And that's millions and millions of dollars. So here we have another potential boondoggle here. And not only that, it's in the prime area of downtown. It's adjacent to the governor's mansion, the state museum, the Empire State Plaza. And then you have the police court and the city court down below at the lower end. And you have people living on the other side in the South End communities. So is this a wise thing to do, to put a sewer treatment plant right in an area that's really prime real estate for the future development of the city, in a park?
Right.
So there are a lot of questions involved in that.
Now, if it's a done deal and people come out to voice their opinion, what can be done? I mean,
it's already been approved, to my understanding, by DEC. So these meetings are just simply dog and pony shows. You'll have people there with a screen, and they'll probably have some popcorn, and it's all programmed. And frankly, they don't give a damn what the people have to say. So the people are going to have to really analyze this and make some noise about it. And also, the people that are being invited to these meetings are only the people in the immediate vicinity. This is a problem that affects all of Albany. And then when it comes to the finances, that's where the uptown people, this is where the uptown tax base is in the city of Albany. When you look at who pays the taxes that support the city schools and city government up here, it's uptown Albany single-family residential neighborhoods, which are under assault for development, which is only going to complicate the problem. So this is something that people all over the city should be concerned about, especially the people that live in the nice single-family homes. They've already gotten a little tax increase. They're going to have a garbage tax increase on top of that soon, all kinds of tax increases. And if most of this money is loans, not grants, who's going to pay off the bonds, the debts? Guess who? The shrinking number of single-family homeowners that pay the lion's share of the property taxes. So it's something that should concern all the residents of the city of Albany, not just the people who live in the immediate vicinity of the park.
You know what really bothers me about living in Albany? You know, I moved into Albany. I've lived in the Capital District since the early 80s. And Albany is such a wonderful historic city, and we are we're the seat of state government, and everything is being, the politicians treat it like, who cares? That really upsets me.
Yeah, and we've got to come to grips with this problem because there's so much land in the city of Albany. It's a perennial problem that everyone knows about. The mayor talks about it as well, that a large proportion of the tax base is off the rolls as far as homeowners. So Albany homeowners have to pick up the slack. Only about one-third of the homes in the city are owner-occupied, and they're the people that pay the taxes. Now, renters do pay them in a way through their rents. And so they have to be concerned, too. Tenants, people that rent, their rents are going to go up to pay for these bonds and to pay for the interest on the loans and so forth like that over time. And in fact, I've been looking at there's a big spate of development now with this Rezone Albany, which was pushed through the Common Council, very compliant. The council just voted aye like a bunch of penguins, and no one questioned this problem, what the implications were of Rezone Albany. Essentially what it does is it opens up Albany for mixed-use development, and especially in the uptown residential single-family neighborhoods where restrictions were placed on development. Most of those restrictions are now gone. So what you're going to have here is a situation where you're going to have a big building boom. And a lot of it's apartment houses. You have the example on Western Avenue near CVS and the University Plaza, the six-story building. You've got the Palladium, where there are going to be four-story towers. And then you have on New Scotland Avenue, right across from St. Peter's, 93 apartments with no parking. So who the heck is going to live in these places? And the rents are quite high. They're in the neighborhood of $1,000 or more. So who's going to be able to pay these? These are boondoggles. And assuming that they're occupied, these apartments, you're going to have more sewage, aren't you? And you're going to have more traffic.
Right.
You're going to have all kinds of problems which are going to make the city less desirable as a place to live. And the people are going to move out of these uptown neighborhoods. I see a lot of for sale signs here already. People are, if anyone's paying attention, they're getting out. This is bad. We can't lose the middle class. You lose the middle class, and you don't have any tax base.
So, this came to your attention, as did mine on Saturday.
Right.
What questions should people be asking, and to who should they be asking?
Well, they should be asking of the presenters of the meeting, the people that are the spokesperson for the city, from the city water department, and whoever else is going to be presenting. They should ask the mayor. They should get after their common council members. Where are these people? Now, the principal common council member that's trying to push this program is none other than Kathy Fahey, who represents the 7th Ward, where the Lincoln Park pool is located.
I had contacted her a couple of days ago, and I invited her to come on Focus on Albany, and she has not responded to me.
Right. No, these people are not, they're not really representing their districts. They're cheerleaders, whatever has to be done. And even, I think the mayor indicated that this is the best we can do. Like, it's not the solution, but it's better than nothing. That's not satisfactory. This is like seat-of-the-pants planning. It's only to get some money, get some loans to fill the gaps. And then here she is going along with her Rezone Albany, which is going to really cause major problems in the uptown residential tax-paying neighborhoods, going to reduce the tax base, which supports the city school and city government. So you're going to have more fiscal insolvency. You have a sanctuary city policy, which is going to eventually result in the federal government cutting off millions of dollars of federal aid to the city of Albany. So Albany will never be fiscally solvent with these bad policies. What I recommend with moratorium on Albany, if the Common Council has the courage to do it, and especially those who allegedly represent the uptown 8th, 9th, 10th, 14th, 15th wards, 13th wards, get a moratorium, halt all the, no green light until we get a real good grip on how we're going to deal with the infrastructure problems in the city of Albany, in this case, namely the sewer systems, which are certainly inadequate, and then also traffic. Traffic is a major problem, so there are lots of infrastructural problems. The potholes here are horrendous in Albany. Anybody that drives around here, people are blowing their tires, they're having strut problems, all kinds of damage to their vehicles. And so there are a lot of infrastructure problems here. And the fundamental problem with the city of Albany is, where are the jobs? You've got to have jobs in the city that people can fill. We have a workforce, a potential workforce, that isn't skilled. They're graduating from high school, or maybe half of them aren't graduating from high school, and they don't have the skills and the work ethic or anything else to work at jobs. And there are no jobs even if they wanted to work here locally. Very few jobs, very menial jobs, bartenders, hotel bellhops, all that kind of stuff. But there's really not much there as a tax base. And Albany is a poverty capital. It's a welfare capital of upstate New York. And people are flowing here, Schenectady and Troy. They're not getting jobs. They're involved in the drug trade, a lot of them. Most of them are on public assistance. And Albany has just recently over 4,000 refugees non-English speaking, unskilled people, more poor people. This is not a population base that's going to have growth. Anybody that has a company can't hire these people. So when you look at the jobs, they're on the outskirts, you know, Saratoga County, these places. So
right.
There's real policy problems here with the Rezone Albany, the Sanctuary City, on and on. And if you're going in the wrong direction, we're heading for being destroyed on the Hudson. I've been saying that for a long time.
Now, this is going to be an issue that's going to be ongoing, even though we just found out about it.
Oh, it's a long term. It's ongoing, yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
So you posed some issues today, some questions today, and this is a conversation that's going to be continued. What do you think the next step in this conversation will be?
Well, I think that Amanda Fries has done some good work with the Times Union. Has to do a real focus. Get off Trump and get off all these national politics things. Focus, like Tip O'Neill said, all politics are local. Let's have some in-depth reporting. The media should get off the Trump, anti-Trump bandwagon and try to support the president for change, because he's trying to turn the country around. And frankly, the matter is, Democratic administrations have destroyed the cities in upstate New York, and in the process of doing it in New York City as well. And we've got a lot of work to be done right here at home in the city of Albany, and the local paper should be focusing on special reports dealing with these infrastructure problems, the pros and cons, and there has to be an education component to this, not a brainwashing sales job, but a true analysis. We've got universities here. So hopefully some of these professors can analyze things and contribute. We have a geography and planning department at the University of Albany. Let's hear from these geographers. Let's engage the Capital District Regional Planning Commission. So there has to be much more. The media has a tremendous role to play. And fundamentally, the people have to be, they are tuned out, turned off with all of the negativism that's in politics today. And this is a fundamental issue in the gubernatorial race this year. You know, we're talking about prisoners getting the vote and executive orders, having a pen and a phone. You know, we don't have dictators here. We've got to have the people pay attention, because the decisions that are made or not made on a political level affect all of us and our future. So the voters have to get off the TV and start paying attention.
So, Joe, you know, as this issue unfolds, we'll be talking again, and we'll be talking to the Focus on Albany listeners. So what are your final thoughts on this? Because this is such an important...
My final thought is, the bottom line is, the buck for paying all this stops with the dwindling number of Albany City taxpayers. And just recently, you interviewed an incoming leader of the Albany County Legislature. You just recently had another change there. And I listened to that interview, and you asked the person about this, and he did not know much more than what he had just read in the paper. Now, he was in the legislature last year when they voted for a program to share services with Saratoga County to build a waste digester energy project at the Menands Albany County Water Project or Sewer Treatment Plant in Menands. Now, that, why is Albany County partnering with Saratoga County and not with the city of Albany to resolve these sewer problems? You know, there's a lot of questions that have to be asked here. And the big thing is the financing. $45 million, where's it going to come from? Who is going to ultimately be responsible for paying back the loans and the interest on this $45 million plus? It's going to be more than that. It always is. When this is only a seasonal project that only operates during the summer months and during peak rain times. That's a band-aid. That's not a problem to Albany's overall sewer questions. And then on top of this, the rezone Albany moratorium, people should demand there be a moratorium. Let's thoroughly analyze this thing. No more development until we get this sewer problem under control, because you're only going to aggravate it. And then the big question is, who's going to pay back and be responsible for the loans and the debts that are involved, $45 million plus? You know who? The uptown taxpayers that are already overtaxed. They're elderly. They're living on fixed incomes. So you want to kill a city, just go ahead and green light these kinds of projects. And that's what's going to happen. Albany is on a fast track to becoming Detroit on the Hudson. So the Common Council has to get on the ball. The members have to really be studying and representing their districts. And the mayor's got to change some of her flawed policies, like rezone Albany and a sanctuary city. Albany's going to be continually in debt. They're never going to be solvent.
No. Now, you say the Common Council, and even though it's going to affect basically the 7th Ward, would you say that all of the wards, in other words, if I reached out to all of the Common Council members, do you think they should all have an interest in solving this problem, all of them?
Yes, yes, because, well, first of all, I would disagree with you, Cynthia. It's not affecting the 7th Ward. It just, it's billed as that. It's only being, you've got just a handful of people around the 7th Ward and the South End who, by and large, aren't paying attention, okay?
Right.
The rest of the city is asleep. But every neighborhood in this city and every ward is contributing to this sewer problem.
Okay.
And then adding to it the development, when the Common Council just simply rubber stamps rezone Albany without raising these kind of questions, they just go, aye, like a bunch of penguins with their flippers. They're not representing the people. They should just resign, the whole lot of them.
Okay. Okay. So this is a conversation that definitely will continue. So you have been listening to Joe Sullivan on Focus on Albany. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, I always say hashtag Focus on Albany. But I do have a Facebook page that I'd like people to subscribe to. Share your comments about this particular issue. And also, you can email me at CynthiaPooler@hotmail.com. This is definitely an important issue that must be addressed. And as much community input as possible. So thanks, Joe, for talking, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will resume this conversation at a later date. Have a good day.
Thank you, Cynthia.